I really wanted to see her. We had just had what would later be called our first non-date, where I told her I was not interested in being too serious. Several days later, I found myself driving down Randleman Road in an ice storm, doing my best to get to Level Cross because I wanted to see her. My little 68 Volkswagen, the defroster was doing its very best to keep that ice off the windshield. Wasn't doing too good, but I had the window rolled down and my arm out, scraping the windshield. I was afraid to slow down or stop because I didn't know if I could get back up the speed up the hill because I really wanted to see her. I can see her right now. She's sitting over there, and I'm glad I got out there that night. Didn't die on the way, which I probably was foolish to try it, but I did it because I really wanted to see her, was longing to see her. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Exodus again, and starting in chapter 16 this morning. 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning, we looked a little bit at this thought of glory. Glory on the journey, the nation of Israel making their way from Egypt through the wilderness to the land of promise. They hadn't seen it yet. They'd never been there. They'd only heard about it from God. And He had promised to take them there. And we've been looking at their journey, and we've seen that their journey, in a lot of ways, parallels the journey of our lives, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. There are a lot of comparisons and contrast that we make and that we've seen as we worked our way through. And we're looking a little bit at the thought of glory on the journey. I just want to remind us of a few things that we said 2 weeks ago. One, the glory that we're considering in these passages is the glory of the Lord, the glory of God. A very difficult concept to even put into words, difficult to describe or define, but we're thinking about it really as the sum total of the attributes of God, who God really is. That's His glory. God, we read in the Scripture, is the possessor of all glory. He's the rightful owner of all recognition of who He is, of the ascription to Him of all that He is and has done. He is worthy of the reflection of that glory by all who know Him, by all actually that He has created. And we come here to Exodus chapter 16, and we're just going to read a couple of verses for sake of time and review. But down in verse 7, as the people have been complaining to Moses concerning what they consider a lack of food, God was going to take care of them, but they considered it a lack of food. And in verse 7, Moses and Aaron are telling the people what God has told them. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. The next morning, they saw a miracle. They saw manna. What is it? Covering the ground, the food of angels, as it's referred to in Scripture, provided for them to eat. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord. And Moses saw it, Aaron saw it, and all the people that came out of their tents the next morning, they saw it. Look down in verse 10. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness. They were just now entering the wilderness. They looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Here was a cloud. The Lord had told them that they would be able to follow this pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to give them direction on their journey. And they looked out toward the wilderness, and there in that cloud they were able to see appearing the glory of the Lord. We don't know exactly what they saw. We don't know what that appeared to be in their vision, but they looked and they saw the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. Now over to chapter 24. Chapter 24 of Exodus. And again, just a couple of verses. Verse 9. of Exodus 24. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, those are Aaron's two of his sons, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they've been called by God, up into Mount Sinai. The people are camped at the base. And they saw, verse 10, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness, in its clarity. In some sense, they saw God. They saw the glory of the Lord. Look down at verse 15 of our chapter 24. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord appeared upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. They saw the glory of the Lord. It was like a consuming fire there on the top of the mountain. Moses had gone up into the mountain. As the people watch, they look and they see this fire, which looks like it would burn up everything that got anywhere near it. The Bible said it was the glory of the Lord. Moses had seen that. He had seen the miracle of the manna. You'll see the glory of the Lord in the morning, and he saw it. And then they looked out toward the wilderness, and they saw the cloud there. And Moses saw, along with everyone else, the glory of the Lord in that cloud. Moses was with this group of 74 when they went up onto Mount Sinai, and there they saw God, and they saw, as it were, the throne of God and the pavement under his throne, and that really seems to be what it was that they were able to visibly see. And now Moses has gone up onto the mountain. As he climbs that mountain, he can look up and he can see the consuming fire of the glory of the Lord. Moses has seen all that. And now over in chapter 33 of Exodus. Chapter 33 of Exodus, and Moses is speaking with the Lord. We read in Scripture that the Lord spoke with Moses as a friend, face to face, as it were. And here in chapter 33, we read in verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and hast also thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he, Moses, said unto him, the Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he, Moses, said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. Now he had seen God's glory. He had seen the glory of the Lord in the manna. He had seen it in the cloud. He had seen it there on the mountain in the throne of God. He had seen it in the consuming fire on the top of the mountain. But there was something within Moses that sensed that there was more to the glory of the Lord. And Moses wanted to see it. And he asked the Lord, Lord, I beg of you. That's what beseech means. Lord, I beg of you, please show me your glory. I want to see the sum total of the attributes of your character. I want to see your glory. And we read later in the chapter, and in chapter 34, that the Lord made a concession. He said, no one can look on my face and live. But I will put you in a place here in the rock, in the mountain, and I will pass by, and I'll cover you with my hand. And as I go by, you will be able to look at the back parts of my glory. Because that's all you can stand to look at, Moses, and live as a human being. Show me your glory. I wonder if that's ever been the cry of your heart. Maybe if you were here 2 weeks ago and you heard that message, maybe you have prayed that prayer. Maybe you've prayed it several times. Lord, show me your glory. I want to see your glory. We read in 1 Timothy 6:16 that the one whose glory we long to see is the one who only hath immortality, who dwells in the light, which no man can approach, and to whom no man hath seen or can see, to whom should be all honor and power everlasting. Amen. Lord, show me your glory. How can we see the glory of the Lord? Yes, we can look out and we can see the miracles of God's provision. He provided manna for them. He provided food for you today. We can look, and as they looked at the cloud, we can look up in the clouds and we see the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, we read in the book of Psalms. We can see, as it were, somewhat of the footstool, the throne of God in some sense. We can understand that as we go through life. But you know, there's something within the believer that longs to see the glory of the Lord. Now, the other people weren't praying that prayer. But Moses recognized that there was more to the glory of the Lord, and he wasn't satisfied with only seeing the manna and the fire and the cloud and the throne. He wanted to see the glory of God. What about you and me today? If that prayer is in our hearts, or it's being birthed in our hearts, even as we read these scriptures, what about us? Can we see the glory of the Lord if we pray that prayer? In John 1:18, we read, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And there's our key. To see the glory of the Lord, I need to see the Son. Turn with me again to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We looked there 2 weeks ago where we just started to look there. This is basically where we broke off that day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As Paul, by the Spirit of God, lays out for those not in the days of the covenant of God with Israel, though that is an eternal covenant, but now entering into the time of the church, the age of grace. And here we find, as God is speaking to those who are able to look back to the cross of Calvary, not forward as the nation of Israel and Moses could only do, but we can look back and we can see by faith the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again and has ascended back to heaven. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 3, we read, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He refers back in verse 6 to creation. God, the Lord, is the one who commanded the light to come out of the darkness that was over all the earth that he had created. But we find now that Paul can say, God, the Creator, has shined in our hearts. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, He has now shone a light into the darkness of our hearts. And that light is the very knowledge of the glory of God. You're saying, that's what I want. That's what I want to see. The glory of the Lord. Lord, show me your glory. It comes in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, as Paul writes these words to the Corinthian believers, and he writes them on behalf of himself and those who were with him, and he says, our hearts. Now, Paul was a unique man, and on the road to Damascus, as he was going to arrest some more Christians to notch onto his religious belt, when he thought he was doing God a favor by trying to rid the world of this Jesus Christ and all his followers, he was struck down there on that dusty road. And he was struck blind as he looked up to see, as it were, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, you and I didn't have that experience. Neither did these people in Corinth. Neither did the people that were working with Paul, whom he could say we concerning. No, he's saying there is a sense in which everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior can truly look up into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and see the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. We can see His glory. As we look at the historical view of His glory from the perspective of the disciples. In John chapter 2 and verse 11, we read that the first miracle that the Lord Jesus did on the earth, changing that water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, in that the Lord Jesus did manifest forth His glory. And we can look back in history and we can see the reality of the glory of God in the face of Christ as He speaks forth the words of those servants, fill up those jars. He had given manna to the children of Israel. He could give wine to the wedding feast. The disciples saw that, and we read in John 2:11 that they believed. In John chapter 11 and verse 4, the Lord Jesus hears that His friend Lazarus is sick. And He tells His disciples, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. We know that the Lord Jesus waited a few days before He went. He allowed Lazarus to die, but so that He could raise him from the dead, and that those gathered around there, they had come to a funeral. And now they look into the face of the Lord Jesus, the very God who created everything, the one who has power over death. And He raises this man back to life, and they see the very glory of God. And we can see that by faith as we look back in the Scripture. We can read the various gospel records of that time of what we call the Transfiguration. There on that mountain is the Lord Jesus took Peter, James, and John up with Him. And there, while they were there on that mountain, suddenly they saw His glory. His clothes changed and became brighter than anything could ever be made bright in this world. The best bleach you could come up with could never make that kind of white. And they saw the glory of God shine out from the face of God. Brighter than the sun at noonday, it's described. And they looked. And by faith, we can go to the Scriptures and we can see historically the glory of God in the face of Christ. Peter, one of those three, would later write this in his second epistle, the first chapter, verses 16 and 17 and 18. He says, we haven't followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We can go to the Scripture and through the eyes of the disciples, by faith, by the working of the Spirit of God, we too can see the glory of God in the face of Christ from the past. We can also see it from the future view, through the perspective of the prophets. The Lord Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, Then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. He prayed, as we have recorded in John 17, 24, that we could be with him, that we could be with him where he is, that we might behold his glory. That's the longing of the heart of the Lord Jesus. He desires that his people would see his glory, not only by faith, but also by sight. And that's the reality for the child of God, that one day his prayer will fully be answered and we will see his glory. We will be with him where he is. But until that time, he still desires that we see his glory. Yes, we have seen his glory in many ways. But the longing is in our hearts that we could see his glory like Moses did. That God, who has shined in our hearts, would give us more of that light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That one who is the image of the invisible God. I'm going to ask you to turn back. You can hold your place or put something here in 2 Corinthians. We'll be back. But go back to Exodus 34. You know, it's wonderful to be able to look back and see by faith what the disciples saw. It's a privilege to be able to look forward and see some of what the prophets looked into that they didn't really understand at all and wanted to know more. But you know, right now where we are, by faith, we can see the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. If by faith we are willing to look at him, we can see where we sit today. We can see the glory of God in the face of Christ. Here in Exodus 34, the account of Moses seeing the glory of the Lord. Look at verse 4 of Exodus 34. And this is talking about Moses. And he hewed two tables of stones like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables, blank tables, by the way, of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that while will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Moses goes up on the mountain. God has said, I will show you my glory. What was Moses expecting to see? What did he think? Did he think there would be lightning? Did he think there would be a bright light? Did he think that this fire that maybe like he had seen in the wilderness on the backside of the desert in the bush that didn't burn up? What did he see? What did he expect to see? We don't know. He might have never imagined that he would see what he saw. As the Lord passed by and moved his hand away, he saw the character of God. The Lord had said, I'm going to make all of my goodness pass before you. In essence, the inventory of my attributes will pass before you. And this great God who could feed millions of people every morning in a miraculous way, the one who could show his glory in a cloud or in a fire or in a throne on the side of a mountain, he was going to show Moses who he really is. I don't know how many of you follow baseball. I've been up at Mountaintop this week. Never saw a newspaper. Never heard a radio. I did check my email a couple of times. But I didn't read the news or anything. But you know, I was thinking when I got back home, I said, I wonder how Barry Bonds is doing. Now, some of you follow baseball, you know about Barry Bonds. When I was a young person, I had a baseball card of his dad, Bobby Bonds, a good baseball player, an all-star baseball player. And Barry Bonds grew up in a baseball home. And Barry Bonds, last night, hit his 755th home run in his career, tying Hank Aaron for the most home runs ever by a Major League Baseball player in his career. That's pretty impressive. That one record is probably the most notable record in all of baseball. Maybe in all of sports. It probably is in all of sports. And here is a man who is on the verge now. He's going to take today off so that he can go back to San Francisco and play in front of his home fans and try to hit that record-breaking home run. That's impressive. What a man. But you know, there's a cloud hanging over him. If you know about baseball, you know about the steroid allegations toward Barry Bonds. There may be an asterisk beside his name and his record when he sets it. If anything is proven concerning these allegations that he's taken illegal steroids, things that are not allowed, they've been banned by Major League Baseball. But now here this man who is getting ready to accomplish this amazing feat. When you really start to examine him, maybe his glory isn't all that it looked like it was. But when you look at the Lord Jesus, when you look at all the magnificent things that he has done and all the things that he is doing and will do, every one of those accomplishments is backed up by a perfect character, by attributes that are beyond anything that Moses could ever have imagined. And as the Lord passed by him, he looked and he saw the glory of God. He saw the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the Lord God, merciful. And we look at the Lord Jesus and we see him with his ear open to the woman crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon." We see him opening his heart of compassion on people who not only are physically hungry, but they're spiritually searching. We see the Lord Jesus having compassion on a blind man and touching his eyes. Compassion on a bereaved mother and raising her son from the dead. And then we can look to our own lives. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you know what the mercy of God is. You know the compassion of the Lord. You've seen him have mercy on you. You've seen him look at you in your life in times when you know that there was no hope at all for you. And the Lord reached down his hand and he touched your life. The very moment you trusted Christ as Savior, you experienced the compassion of the Lord. He allowed you to see him. And he wants us to look back again and recognize his compassion. The Lord God, gracious. If you know Christ as Savior, if you've admitted to him that you're a sinner and you deserve hell as punishment for all eternity because you have sinned against God, you've gone your own way, but you realize that he died for you and he took your punishment. He was your substitute and he rose again, and you want to trust him as your Savior. You want him to be the one who takes you to heaven because he's the only way to get there. If you've done that, then you know, as Paul told the Corinthians, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you've experienced the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it is to deserve hell. You know what it is to not deserve a relationship with God, to not deserve forgiveness, to not deserve to be taken in to the very family of God, but you've experienced what it is. And as it were, we've been sitting over in the rock. And we can't look face on at this point, but the glory of God has gone by and we've looked and we've seen him reveal his mercy, his grace, his long suffering. How thankful we are that he endured the cross. How thankful we are that as he in Paul showed forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting, that he also showed long suffering with us. He didn't send us to hell, though we deserved it. He did give us the opportunity to respond by faith to his free gift of salvation. If you're here this morning, you've received Christ as Savior, you've experienced the glory of God. You can look at his long suffering and how patient he is with you even now. His goodness, or literally his kindness. Moses saw that as it passed by. In Titus 3:4 we read, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." In our own life's experience, we've experienced the kindness of God through Jesus Christ. We've experienced the truth. Abundant in goodness, abundant in truth. We've experienced the reality of the Lord Jesus saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." We've experienced the glory of God, the one who forgives iniquity, or a perversion of his perfect standard, who forgives transgression or rebellion against his perfect authority, or sin missing that goal, his perfect mark of his own glory. We've experienced forgiveness. We've seen the glory of God. We've only seen the backside of it. One day we will see the Lord Jesus in all of his glory, but we have seen his glory. We've seen his righteousness. Yes, as Moses watched and he saw the glory of God pass by, he saw his mercy, his compassion, his kindness, his long suffering, his forgiveness, but he also saw his righteousness. He said, "I'll by no means clear the guilty. I'm not just going to turn my head at sin. Sin will be dealt with." And we look at the Lord Jesus, and there he is, the sin bearer, the one who was perfect, taking on our imperfections, our sins, our wickedness, our perversion, our transgression, our rebellion, our missing of the mark. He took it all on himself. And as Moses was called up into the mountain, the Lord said, "I will show you my glory, but you've got to come alone with me. And I want you to bring two tablets with you with nothing on them." To me, that's a striking picture of what the Lord desires from us. To get alone with him. To take his word and to listen to what he says, that we might see his glory as Moses did. Bringing that clean tablet, as it were. Can you imagine somebody telling you that we're going to take you to see the most beautiful, spectacular view in all of the world? And they're going to take you, just you. You take a helicopter, you're going to fly out to this remote place that very few people have ever seen. And they say, "Don't forget your camera." Can you imagine going to that and having film in your camera, and 22 of the 24 exposures have already been taken? Or you got the memory card in your digital camera and it's almost full and you didn't bring an extra card. You'd say, "I'm going to have a new card. I'm going to have a new roll of film. I'm not going to let anything get in the way. I want to come and see all of this beauty." And the Lord says, "You come away with me. You get alone with me. And don't bring your preconceived ideas. And don't come with your mind all cluttered up with work and with play. Come alone and just get there with me. And take my word, and I will write on your heart. And I will show you my glory." That's the desire of the Lord. Next time, I'd like for us just to very briefly look at the reaction to that. And that'll be next Sunday morning. And maybe this week, as you ask the Lord to show you his glory, and maybe this week as you go alone, maybe it's early in the morning like it was for Moses, Or maybe it's mid-morning when things have calmed down around the house. Or maybe it's on your lunch break when you find a quiet spot with your Bible. Maybe it's in the afternoon or after you get off of work. Maybe it's sometime in the evening or late at night. Maybe it's in the middle of the night. But at some point in the day or the night, you get alone with the Lord and you say, "Lord, show me your glory. And I've got your word here and I want to go into your word because I know that's how you speak. And I want you to show me the glory of God in the face of your Son. I want to know that glory. I've seen your glory in many ways, Lord, but I want to see it today. I want to see it tonight. By faith, that's what I want." As you see the glory of the Lord, think about your response. And we'll look at that next Sunday morning. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it's been this morning to just think about you and think about your Son. To be reminded of the perfection of your character. Father, the unimaginable to us essence of your being. And Father, to think that you would have any concern to show us who you are. That you would stoop in any way to reveal to us the glory of your character. And yet you have done that. And you desire to do that. And you've given us your Son. Father, those of us who know you personally through the Lord Jesus, we thank you for showing us your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And Father, we would say, show us your glory. We want to see more. Father, we look forward to the day when we will see your Son face to face. But until then, show us your glory. And Father, there may be one. There may be more than one. But Father, there may be one person here this morning that's never truly acknowledged to you that he or she is a sinner. And Father, there's nothing that they can do to get themselves to you except receive the gift of your Son. Father, I pray that you'll convict their hearts this morning, that they'll recognize that your glory includes your justice and that sin will be punished. Father, I thank you for your Son who took our punishment. But I pray for those who may be here this morning that have never received him. Father, on their way to hell, Father, show them that. Show them your justice and show them your love, how much you care for them. We pray that they would turn to you this morning, would seek out help, would cry out to you for mercy and grace. We ask these things, thanking you for the Lord Jesus and praying in his name. Amen.